If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Natural disasters. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people are scared of them. You have no control over them. They come in the middle of the night or whenever. You're not prepared. And who knows what can happen, right?
Yeah, extremely powerful. Reminds me that the Katrina thing is on Netflix right now. Everybody's watching that.
I can't. So they did a study to find out what's the number one type of natural disaster that most Americans are terrified of.
Okay.
What do you think it is?
If I had to guess, the most uncontrollable stuff to me is a wildfire or a tornado.
Tornado came in number one.
Okay.
Tsunamis came in second.
I mean, we don't deal with that a lot here, but I understand why it's scary.
Earthquakes, third. And hurricanes came in fourth.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff regional.
But it says right here, it's regardless of where in the country you are.
Yeah.
It's a matter of like these ones are the ones that scare you the most.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we could see the destruction, right? The thing about a tornado that's so scary to me is that it's unpredictable, right? You see the thing, you know, moving and nobody knew it was there 15 minutes ago. They couldn't predict it, right? And all of a sudden it drops in on you. You never know where and when it's going to happen. Hurricane, we tend to just stand in the way and go, no, we're going to ride it out. And that's... You know, that's not good either. Wildfire, to me, has that same unpredictable nature. So,
average American will face four natural disasters in their lifetime. Okay. And more if you live in Florida because mm-hmm. of all the hurricanes that mm-hmm. have hit. Despite the fact of having these fears, only half of us have a plan. Have a plan of what they would do. A disaster plan.
Yeah.
And at first, I laughed at that. I said, huh, who doesn't have a plan?
I'm so smart. Of course I've got a plan. I'm Anna Zapp.
I don't have a plan.
No, you don't.
I
knew you wouldn't.
No. Well, like, what if something happened?
Yeah.
With the exception of going to buy the bread and the milk from the grocery store, like everybody else.
I mean, that's what they do every time it rains a lot, or the snow is coming where you are, or anything like that.
And I'm relatively certain if an earthquake hits, I'm probably not going to have bread or water, like milk.
Yeah, you're not going to have that warning either.
I don't have anything. Like, I don't have a sink. I don't even know where the flashlights are in my house.
Everybody likes to talk and laugh about people that are doomsday preppers, or whatever way that you want to call it. But I mean, that's all that stuff. Does Paul have a plan? Your husband?
No.
Are you unaware?
There's no way he has a plan.
Paul also has no plan.
No.
In my house, I have no less than four canisters of propane, two generators. I mean, I've got meat stocked. I've got food for the dogs for probably 6 to 9 months. Medications for the family, for the dogs too. I mean, like all that stuff. And I got a bag and a car. It can go in instantly if I got to hit the road and get out of there.
Why?
Because I'm crazy or paranoid or, you know, whichever way that you want to look at it. I'm prepared. That's what I call.
You're a doomsday prepper.
Listen, I'm not as prepared as I'd like to be, but I'm far more prepared than a lot of people. I've got batteries. I've got solar panels that can charge things if I'm on the go.
What?
I've got a crank radio. I've got powdered milk, for God's sakes. I got it all, Anna.
Uh-huh.
I've even got water purifiers.
All right. On that note, you're definitely more prepared than I am. I've got nothing. I'm going to go in the bathtub if there's an earthquake. That's my plan.
I don't think that that's where you go for that.
Did you ever get a letter in the mail and you open it and there's either a form to fill out or there's like a link to a questionnaire and in there is actual cash?
Ooh, money's running from the sky.
It's like $3 or a $5 bill or something like that. Turns out that that's how a lot of companies do their market research, mm-hmm. and including media companies and radio companies, which always angers me because I'm like, so whoever gets this $2 bill over here is going to be the one that determines my future?
I mean, primarily, it's the person that responds to that. So take that the next level, which is a little bit scary, right? But we've based our whole lives on that.
And it's sad.
Our careers.
So Hayden, my 16-year-old, gets a letter in the mail and she opens it and she's like, Mommy, there's a $2 bill in here. And I said, what?
Yeah.
And it was from it says it's from the government.
Okay.
And they want to ask young people questions about government related careers with a $2 bill. I'm looking at the $2 bill and Raven, producer Julie, I immediately think this is fake. This questionnaire is fake and this money is fake.
Let me ask you why it is that you thought that it was fake, because I think I know why, but explain
because
to me why you think
it's fake. Because who sends a $2 bill? mail.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, like, actually, so, Julie, if you don't know this, Anna is a big fan of the $2 bill, which I have told her is a fake bill left and right. I've told her many times that this is the dumbest bill ever created. I think that, for me, the reason you would think it was fake is because it's so clean and it looks so new.
It's brand new.
But that's because nobody uses them. There's a government office right there with just a stack of $2 bills, and they're like, all right, here goes another letter.
So producer Julie was given the task to figure out if it's counterfeit or not. Now, what research did you do to figure out if that's a real bill or not?
Well, there's four things to look for when you look at a $2 bill to determine if it's real.
Write these down if you're in the car, because you're never going to see this $2 bill.
The first thing you do with all money, you look for the red and blue slivers in the fibers of the paper, which this one has.
Okay.
All right. So second step is to look for the intaglio printing.
What does that mean?
Which is when the ink is forced on the paper, it rises and creates a texture on the border and on the jacket of the person.
You're rubbing the bill. Is it there?
Is it there?
So that's two. So next one is
to look. She's so smart when she talks like this, isn't she? Yeah. I believe her.
Is to look for the serial numbers, and they're evenly spaced. Uh-huh. So I don't know. I didn't use like a measuring tape, but it looks pretty even. And the last thing to do that really kind of clears it up is to use the pen.
The counterfeit pen.
Counterfeit pen.
Yeah, producer Justin had to go to his Staples to get one because we couldn't find one anywhere else.
Well, all right, the good news is you don't need a license or anything like that or a permit to get this pen. You could just buy one.
So, Julie, go ahead. Do it.
Yeah. Do we have
$2? So we drew the line, and it's turning dark, which is, I think, supposed to happen. And let's draw it on normal paper, and it turns black. So, it's real.
Oh, it's a real $2 bill.
It's a real $2
bill. Big money, yo!
So I should make Kaden fill out this form.
Here's the problem. When you go to try and spend that dollar, if the person at the register doesn't believe it,
they're going to think it's fake, and you're going to have to explain the whole thing.
They're going
to
be like, this isn't real, ma'am.
What I thought would be fun was one of you is going to win that $2 bill right now, producer Julia Raven.
Oh, we're going to have auditions?
Yes.
Are we going to fight to the death?
I have I have three questions.
All right.
Whoever gets two out of three will win that $2 bill we know is real now.
I love this. Woo-hoo. Okay, here we go.
What president is on the $50 bill?
It's
Adams?
No.
You can't just shout him out.
Yes, you can.
It's not Jackson, right? Because Jackson's on the 50. Burr?
No.
Hamilton?
Burr?
No.
Justin's just screaming in the other room. He's like, that would be my money!
It's Grant.
Oh, Grant.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Ulysses S. Grant.
All right, this is pathetic. All right. Now, whoever gets the first one right wins the $2 bill.
All right.
Who is on... Don't look, Julie.
I won't.
The $2 bill.
Oh, come on. She just looked at it. That's not fair.
Yeah, but I already forget. Is it... Oh, shoot. Is it...
The Hamilton.
Adams?
No.
Adams.
Burr.
You guys are so...
Is it Jackson?
give me back the $2 bill. It's Thomas Jefferson.
Jefferson?
Yeah.
Jefferson's on the two?
I'm putting it in Hayden's college account.
Sucks for Jefferson.
Nice middle part here.
That's it. That's it. Only two questions. It's over. Nobody gets the bill.
America's favorite jackpot game. This is Powerball. Tonight we've got another life-changing jackpot for you in an estimated amount of $1.444 billion.
Check your tickets.
I'll take that money.
Just kidding. Nobody won.
Oh,
nobody
come on.
Won again.
Do you have the numbers?
I had them before. Just look them up. They're everywhere.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. Now the jackpot for Saturday night goes up to $1.7 billion.
Yep, sure, okay.
And yesterday, we took six random callers. Each of them gave us a number, and those were the numbers we played. We had a deal with our listeners that the six of them that gave the numbers, we would split the jackpot with them. So if you're one of those people and you're like, well, what happens now that we won $0?
Yeah.
We're going to take those same numbers and play them for Saturday.
Oh, we're going to roll them over for them?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Okay, that seems pretty generous of us.
Also, really important, a mathematician has come out... and said you're better off doing the quick picks than you are doing the picking the lucky numbers.
Yeah, I mean, there's somebody that has a theory every single time. They say quick picks, and then they say it's typically a quick pick single ticket on top of it.
Mm.
You know, I went into the gas station yesterday, and I'm getting all the tickets, and I was getting our ticket with those numbers, and it was the first time that I had picked my numbers. All the other times I've done quick picks, but when I'm doing quick picks for myself after, they were like, do you want separate tickets? I was like, no. one ticket. And they looked at me like I was terrible. And I was like, I know what they say. I was like, but have you won before? Have I won before? And we were both like, no. And I was like, okay then.
People are very superstitious about the way they play. When I was a teenager, I worked in a place that sold lottery tickets. And I remember everything had to be on single tickets. There were so many quirks that people have about it. Whatever it takes. Saturday night, $1.7 billion.
Woo!
Also trending, very interesting. Roger Goodell, he's the NFL commissioner. He gave a random interview on the Today Show. Why would you even listen to what he says?
Is Taylor Swift invited to play the Super Bowl this year, the halftime show?
We would always love to have Taylor play. She is a special talent, and obviously she would be welcome at any time.
Is it in the works?
I can't tell you anything about that.
Is it a maybe?
It's a maybe.
Okay.
I mean, that means yes.
No, it doesn't mean yes. It means that he's trying to leverage pressure to get her to say yes or get her to agree to do it this year or next year or something like that. I mean, if she wanted to do it, she'd be doing it. There's no question about it. So he's begging, essentially, publicly begging and trying to get, again, people to pressure her to do it.
So the question is, well, when are they going to announce it? Because the last 3 years, they announced it in September. And this is what he said.
I'm waiting on my friend Jay-Z to be able to help me with that one. It's in his hands. I'm waiting for the smoke to come out.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay, good. But you're a Swiftie.
I'm definitely a Swiftie.
Of course you are.
If you don't know, Jay-Z runs the whole halftime show.
Rockefeller Entertainment is the ones who does the booking for the halftime show the last 4 or 5 years or something like that. So, I mean, listen, they'd love to have her, of course, but it's all going to be up to her. And they'd make that announcement the day that she decided she wanted to do it. And if they had somebody lined up and Taylor Swift changed her mind and said, you know what, I want to do it, they'd bump them for
How
her.
Sad would it be? How sad would it be if you're like Post Malone, who, you know, people are thinking maybe, and you're supposed to do the halftime show, and then somebody comes along and is like, oh, just kidding. Taylor says she'll do it. Maybe next year, Post.
If I'm Post, I just raise my hand and go, can I appear for one song?
Well, they can. They've got songs together. That would be nice.
That would be cool. Yep.
Who is Peter Dukes and why is he a national treasure? He is the hero that created the pumpkin spice latte.
I mean, seriously. I mean, that makes him a hero. Yeah. That makes him a champion.
Yeah. It was 2003. Raven, are you listening? I know how much you love pumpkin spice. It was 2003, and Peter was given the job at Starbucks to come up with a fall drink. Not just a fall drink, the fall drink that would make everybody fall in love.
That would make them a lot of money.
He originally called it the Fall Harvest Latte, but it wasn't doing well. They tried everything, and customers were not buying anything that they created. And that's when he threw some pumpkin pie and espresso in a cup with cinnamon cloves and nutmeg, and everybody's life changed forever.
Money time, bang, raining in from the sky. Let's get paid.
This past Tuesday was the biggest money-making day for Starbucks in history. And even though the new CEO says it's because of him, it's because of pumpkin spice, because it's back.
Congratulations, Starbucks. Congratulations to you. I have to tell you, I drove by. There is a new development about 4 miles from my place, and I drove by what has to be the largest Starbucks I have ever seen in my life. It is a barn. It is a huge barn that could hold, I don't know, 400 people. That's a Starbucks. That is a coffee shop. That didn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
I don't know why you're so mad at Starbucks and at pumpkin spice lattes. I mean, my daughter was counting down the days in her glory.
Yeah.
Hayden, you had a drink this week that you said was the most delicious thing you've ever had in your life. What was it?
A Starbucks pumpkin cream chai.
What made it so delicious?
It's the start of fall, and it's sweet, and it has, like, pumpkin spice, like, shook on top, and it's so yummy. Yeah.
Would you say it's a lifestyle?
For me, no. For others, yes.
It's a lifestyle for
it's
people.
It's the start of fall. The start of fall is after the summer solstice or the end of Labor Day. All right? It's not a drink.
All right,
it's not a release date from Starbucks. You know, here's my problem with pumpkin spice latte.
Go ahead, Raven. Tell us why you're mad.
I'm just going to tell you this. It's like, listen, if you enjoy pumpkin spice latte, that's great. And you like the pumpkin spice or the flavoring or whatever on every drink or whatever. Here's my problem with the endless hype that comes around the pumpkin spice latte. Like every year we got to bump up when it's going to be released. It's going to be early every single year. Everybody's going to sing its praises like, oh, it's the greatest thing I ever had in my life. Then it's like some sort of dictatorship or whatever where we're all praying to the dear leader. Like we've got to cry when it goes away. We've got to be, you know, completely revered when it shows up. Like it's just ridiculous to me. And then the infection of other products. It's not enough to have a pumpkin spice latte now. You just heard they've got a pumpkin spice chai tea, right? You've got pumpkin spice donuts. You've got pumpkin spice cupcakes, candies, candles, air fresheners. Every store I walk into has got a pumpkin spice something or other. Just let it go. Let it go. It ain't that great. It ain't that great. It's just a thing. It's just a thing.
Well, here's the good news.
What's the good news?
We're like 2 weeks away from peppermint. And then we'll turn everything to Christmas.
I mean, is that how it'll really work? Because I feel like they roll out Halloween candy now in June.
Right. Yeah, no.
It's just another thing.
It's the Thursday after Labor Day, and football fans know exactly what that means, Raven.
You're so excited you can't speak.
No, this is the truth. Is whenever I have to talk about sports, I'm just going to stumble over my words.
You feel a little bit like a fish out of water. Exactly. It's not your comfort zone.
Right. You want to talk about pop culture, I'm your girl. Holla. But you know what? When you want to talk about football and all the other stuff, I've got a lot of questions. But tonight is the kickoff to the NFL season. So traditionally, the Super Bowl champs host the opener. So tonight, the Eagles will take on the Cowboys because the Eagles won this past year. And if you're wondering when the next Super Bowl is going to be, because for people like me that don't really follow during the season, you're kind of just waiting for the Super Bowl because that's like the big party time. It's going to be on February 8th at Levi Stadium in California.
Yeah, very exciting. Yay.
There's things I want to know. I like football.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that I know that you either know it or you don't.
Okay.
Like, I know that.
You want me to straighten some stuff out for you? Because I'm happy to do that here on opening day.
So everybody's buying the Travis Kelce jersey. And I'm wondering, if you're not traditionally a Chiefs fan, I'm not traditionally a Chiefs fan. I'm a Giants fan because my husband is a Giants fan. So I asked him last night.
By the way, that's the way a lot of people select their team.
So, you know, we're Giants
fans.
That's
good. But now you're thinking about getting a Kelce jersey.
I just really like it. I like Patrick Mahomes and I like his wife Brittany. Yeah. And I just feel like maybe I belong there.
Yeah, okay, maybe you're a Chiefs fan, is what you're saying?
But can you buy another team's jersey even if you, you know, don't necessarily ever, never, ever been.
Let me give you some qualifying statements here. Yeah. Okay. The older I get, the truth is like I like more individual players. And fantasy football has really done that for me. And it does it for a lot of fans too, because you might be a fan of a team, like you said, that you grew up with or you've been, you know, exposed to or whatever, and you like them. But, you know, you've exposed yourself to other players and other people and watched them come along in their career during that time. You can become a fan. That's very natural. The other thing is the Chiefs are good.
Okay.
Right? And the Giants are not good. The Giants have not been good for a number of years. The Chiefs have been good for a number of years. So I think it's human reaction to see that and want to watch that and want to root for a team that's winning. It's more fun to watch.
Football is American, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's derivative of other sports like rugby.
No, I know what football is.
Yeah.
But we are an American sport. If you go over to Europe and you say football, they're talking about soccer. So why are we playing all these games in other countries? There's going to be seven games, international games this year, including the first one where the Chiefs are going to Brazil on Friday, tomorrow. And I don't understand, why do we have to go to Brazil, UK, Ireland, Germany, and Spain?
I mean, it's an easy answer. Money. Money. The rest of the world also gets excited about football, American football. And that means merchandising. That means economic impact for those cities. I saw that they're talking about $60 million Brazil will make off that one game. So money, you know, and build the brand and more fans means more money for the NFL, more television rights, etc.
Can you bring kids to a tailgate? I've only been to one in my life, and I don't remember if there was kids there.
It depends on the tailgate. It depends on the stadium and the city. Certain cities are definitely known to be rougher than others, and certain cities are known to be more welcoming than others, too. Like Buffalo, got a big reputation. You show up in Buffalo, you're going to have a good time. Cleveland, maybe a little bit less welcoming. Pittsburgh, definitely a little bit rowdier. Yeah, there's some spots.
Okay. All right, those are all the questions I have.
You're ready for football then.
No, I'm actually a professional. 2 years ago, I won the fantasy football league that I was part of.
Yes.
And I'm expecting.
The year before that, I won.
Yeah, I'm expecting to win again this year.
Yeah, well, good luck to both of us.
Thank you.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories that are trending right now. You only get to hear about one. Raven selects which one it is. Are you ready for today's options?
What do you got?
Number one, man covered in mud wearing Speedo runs from police.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Number two, also starts with man. Man asked to smell women's feet. She says no. He hits her with car.
What?
Number three, AI romance scams woman and her home.
I'm going to go with AI romance. It may be shocking to you, but I actually read the foot thing already. And just here's the thing. If you're going to sell your shoes, okay, just to touch on that story, right, don't drive them to a random hotel or motel to meet somebody to sell those shoes. Right. Don't do it.
You didn't select that one. You selected the AI romance scam.
That's right.
Yeah. So a Southern California woman says she lost everything after falling for an elaborate AI-powered romance scam. Now, here's the thing. This woman, Abigail, she believed that she was in a relationship with, wait for it, General Hospital star Steve Burton.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. You handsome man, you handsome devil.
She kept receiving deep fake videos that looked and sounded just like him.
Oh, no.
Now, I have a sample of one of those videos that was sent to her that fooled her.
Yeah.
Hello, Abigail. I love you so much, darling. I had to make this video to make you happy, my love. You should always know that nothing will ever make me hurt you or lie to you, my queen.
Wow. I mean, that's laying it on pretty thick, all right?
I mean, if you hear that.
Yeah.
I understand, because I have to deal with this with my own mother a lot. Like, okay. I always have to tell her, when you have a link that shows up in your text messages, please don't click it. Please don't, you know.
Yeah.
I have to have that conversation with her regularly. And then sometimes she'll still call. She'll be like, Anna, this one looks real from the FBI.
I mean, the deep fake. Yeah, the FBI is sending you a video. The deep fake videos are really amazing, right? The stuff that they can do. I remember there was a woman last year in my area that got arrested for attempting to murder her husband because she thought that she was communicating with another soap star. Same thing. And he was telling her, you got to get rid of your husband. He's in our way. Well, I love you.
What is up with all these soap stars being the deep fake?
I also know somebody personally that their wife broke it off with them because they thought that they were talking with the drummer of a heavy metal band.
It happens.
It's a real
so often.
Story.
So they interviewed this woman's daughter.
Your mom basically thought that she was in a romantic relationship with a soap actor.
Yes, she did. She really believed it, 100%. I mean, she argued with me, Vivian. You're telling me that I'm talking to someone that is AI. This man looks like him, sounds like him. I mean, I watch him on television.
Yeah, but it gets sadder than that. Not just like that she believed it and she felt like she was in a relationship with this celebrity that she wasn't.
I mean, they're heartbroken and then they're cleaned out on top of it.
Well, that's what happened here is that she handed him over, whoever this fake person was,
$81,000.
$81,000. And then he convinced her to sell her condo, her family condo.
Oh, my gosh.
For more than $400,000 to take that money to buy them a beach house, quote unquote. And she did that, too. And now the daughter is in court trying to say she wasn't in her right mind.
I mean,
she
but how's issues. This beach house, though?
I don't think it's a real beach house, Raven. I think you just fell for the scam,
too. Oh, no!
I feel terrible. And we always say that you got to watch out for the older folk, the elderly, because they fall for a lot of these things and you have to. But they're getting better.
Oh, yeah. They can fake voices. They can fake the videos.
They're smarter.
Right. They know the times and the information. They have great info.
Many times where I've gotten an email or a text message and I have to stop myself and I don't know myself.
Right.
So just always be vigilant because these things are out there and they're eventually going to become so good that we're all going to fall for them.
Mm.
Kids Beat Raven.
Coming up in a little bit, the jackpot for Can't Beat Raven is going to be $5,300. And that's when adults go head-to-head against Raven in pop culture trivia. But all this week at this time, we're playing Kids Beat Raven for their chance to win gift cards for back-to-school shopping. Hey, Emily, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So how old are you?
12.
And are you excited to take down Raven right now? Do you think you can do it?
I hope so.
All right. Here's the thing, Emily. I'm never going to tell a child they didn't win. So most likely you're going to get this gift card no matter what. But I still like it when you beat him and Raven gets all sad. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
You got it. Good luck.
Okay. Raven is walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You have about 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties technically go to Raven. You ready to play, Emily?
Yep.
Okay. Number one, Lego Masters Jr. is currently airing on Fox. What color is host Kelly Osbourne's hair in each of the released episodes?
Purple.
Number two, Poppy Playtime was inspired by the real-life toy company that invented the teddy bear. What color is Huggy Wuggy, the character from Poppy Playtime?
Blue.
Number three, the Croc King has set the Guinness World Record for the largest collection with 3,800 pairs of Crocs. What is the name of the decorative charms that you can put on your Crocs?
Gibbets.
Number four, in Roblox, what does Obby stand for?
I have no idea.
And number five, part two, Wicked, will be out in November. What will the movie be called?
Wicked 2.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. Let's go. Let's go, let's go.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Emily.
Wow, pretty impressive. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Lego Masters Jr. is currently airing on Fox. What color is host Kelly Osbourne's hair in each of the released episodes?
I'm just going to guess purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good guess.
Typically purple.
Also looks very good in purple.
Number I'm not two, a big fan of hers, but, you know.
Poppy Playtime was inspired by the real-life toy company that invented the teddy bear. What color is Huggy Wuggy, the character from Poppy Playtime?
Just take a guess and say blue.
Blue is right. Are you kidding me?
Blue is my favorite color.
Oh, yeah, okay. Number three. The Croc King has set the Guinness World Record for the largest collection with 3,800 pairs of Crocs.
Yeah.
What are the name of the decorative charms that you put on your Crocs?
Oh, widgets?
No, gibbets.
Ah, it was close.
Number four. In Roblox, what does Obby stand for?
New player?
Obstacle course.
Okay.
You need this last one to tie Emily, or she wins.
I started so good, just guessing.
Number five, part two to Wicked is going to be out in November. What's that movie called?
Wicked for Good.
It is Wicked for Good.
Oh, we tied.
You tied today. Here's the thing, Emily. We're still going to hook you up with this gift card.
All right.
What are you excited to study this year at school?
Probably literature.
Awesome.
Wow. I mean, at 12, what an answer.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite author yet?
I like Shannon Messenger.
Let me suggest Stephen King.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
Greatest writer of our time.
All right.
All right. And we're going to have another kid to play tomorrow on Kids Beat Raven. Great news. We're going to fly. I think we're going to fly.
I'm not sure about that, but we're definitely going to be smarter, sharper, faster, all those things.
This big announcement came last month.
The NFL has now banned smelling salts from everything. No practices, no game sessions, no smelling salts for NFL players now and moving forward.
What? I was like, what? That's a thing?
They're doing it for our safety, Anna.
Well, that's what they say. And he continues. This is a sportscaster. His name's Brody Brazil.
Well, the optimal use, number one, is that you don't put this thing anywhere close to your nose. You kind of waft it around to get that aroma and to get the scent of it. I had it put way too close to my nose, and to be honest with you, I thought my nose was bleeding.
What?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
So, of course.
I mean, I've had allergy issues over the last couple weeks anyways. I don't want to get a nosebleed from this thing.
Raven, producer Julie, when we heard they banned it, we immediately bought them on Amazon.
That's right, because that's where you go for illicit materials.
Well, I had no idea that what it was supposed to do and what it says. And, you know, he goes on to explain.
But it really feels like getting slapped in the face.
What?
As the players will tell you. It gets you going.
It gets you going.
Yeah, wakes you up, makes you sharp, makes you focused. Now, I thought it was just for, like, you know, making you come to when you were about to pass out or you had been knocked out or whatever. But one of my favorite players, George Kittle, said he uses this every single series.
Yeah.
Every time he would go out there and be ready to hit the field, a whiff of the smelling salts.
So it says in the initial memo that was sent from the NFL that the teams and personnel are prohibited from supplying smelling salts. But players could bring their own?
Oh, really? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Then. Okay, so wait. I mean, if you could bring your own, then obviously everybody's going to bring it. Nobody's got a problem over there budgeting for their smelling salts.
Julie, did you buy this on Amazon?
Yeah.
How much was it?
I think it was like $18.
$18
so bucks? They can afford it. George Kittle's got like a, I don't know, $30 million guarantee.
It says adrenaline booster, maximize support for your lifting speed.
Uh-huh. Oh, so if you were going to lift... Yeah, you're not going to lift.
Or did this just come from China and has misspellings on it?
Open it. Let's give it a whiff. Who wants to go first? You don't want to go first?
It says open the bottle. Hold the bottle 6 inches from your nose. Take a quick sniff.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
All right, here we go. Go ahead and do it.
Hold.
Your face shot right up.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's something I could get used to.
Right. Immediately a smile went across her face. Now you feel sharp, right?
I know that. I don't know how to describe that feeling, but you know what that feeling is.
You're ready to operate right now. Look at you.
Ooh,
she touched the nose.
I like it.
Like, am I bleeding? This feels great.
It wakes you right up. It wakes you right
go, Julie,
up.
Go.
No, too close. Too close. Too close.
Oh. Look at her eyes, though.
Yeah.
It does rev you up.
She's shaking as she hands it to me. All right, here we go.
No, I understand.
6 inches, they said, or else I'm going to feel like I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
I might need a little bit closer. I got a higher tolerance. Here we go.
Your nose is ginormous. Maybe not too close.
Ooh. Oh!
I still have it, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to operate now.
Wait, see? It makes you, I don't know how to describe, you know that feel.
Yeah.
You know what it feels like? Sometimes when you get hit in the face. You know, that feeling that comes into your nose when you get hit in the face? That's it at first, but it immediately goes away, and you get a burst of energy.
Yeah, and you're sharp right there. Go out for a pass.
But what is that's not illegal, whatever this is?
It's not illegal.
None of us thought to look. There was
a little paper that came with it, but I didn't read it.
You guys are just talking over each other. You're so excited right now. It's like we're snipping glue here, which I wouldn't recommend.
No.
I don't know. Smelling salts. You don't need them in your life regularly, but if you have them nearby.
I think I'm dizzy.
Woo!
Good morning.
No, I don't think. No, I don't know. He doesn't think it's a big deal. Not a big deal. A big deal.
Is that the part that's really got you the most upset? Is that he doesn't take seriously the fact that you believe it to be a huge violation?
Right. Guilty or not guilty, you're going to decide whether or not my husband has created a crime against my 6-year-old.
Okay.
He had one job over the weekend. One job. She has been begging to watch one movie. Begging. And I had a lot of stipulations in place because she is only 6. And there were certain things that I wanted done. I wanted to be in daylight. And I wanted her to have either me or Paul with her. Me and my older daughter went out of town. So Paul was left in charge.
Paul, you were given one job. And that one job was to show Dakota Ghostbusters because she had been asking to watch it. And I said she had to watch it during the day with the grown-up. What did you show her instead?
Ghostbusters.
You showed her the last one that came out in 2024, last year, not the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that was one that came up on TV when I searched Ghostbusters. And that's the one that Dakota looked at and said, yeah, that's the Ghostbusters I want to watch.
Because she's 6. You know that it goes in order and the most important one came out in the 1980s and she has to watch that one first before she watches all the others.
No, you don't. Think about Star Wars. That didn't start from the beginning.
That's completely false, by the way. Yes, it was Chapter 4, but they only went back and wrote Chapters 1, 2, and 3 because they wanted the money. That's it. They would have never done that. They would have never done that.
But something even worse happened. So I said, you've ruined it. You've ruined her childhood. You showed her the wrong
one. She didn't get the Genesis story. She didn't get the beginning.
She doesn't understand how they came to form. She doesn't know
started.
Who Bill Murray is. Like, she doesn't know any of those things.
Yeah.
So yesterday, like a good parent, I sat her down so we could watch Ghostbusters together.
Dakota, what Ghostbusters did Daddy show you?
He showed me the last one.
And what did you think about the last one?
I thought it was good. The best thing I ever watched.
Okay. Wow. Then today, Mommy showed you the original Ghostbusters. And how do you feel about that?
I liked it too, but like, kind of.
Wow.
You told me to shut it off 3 times while we were watching it, but I forced you to watch the whole thing. Is that true?
Yeah.
Why didn't you like it?
Because the fifth one was like, I liked it more because at the first one, there was the Marshmallow Man, but at the second one, there was like the big scary thing that I liked more than the Marshmallow Man.
You liked the guy with the horns versus the marshmallow guy?
Yeah, plus the guy with the horns versus the marshmallow guy in a fight, he'd actually win the guy with the horns.
Yeah, you know.
Right, that's not up for discussion right now.
Yeah.
She actually did like it because when you start bringing that stuff up, it means like you've thought about those things. Right. You spent time going over it. You're like, wait a minute.
She's like, the guy with the horns is going to beat up the marshmallow guy. Yeah. And I'm like, Dakota, No!
Yeah, the marshmallow guy's also a bad guy, or was, at least. Did they make him a good guy in the last one? That seems weird.
Well, no, I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Yeah, please don't.
No, it was weird. And what do you think? Is it a big deal that he showed her these movies out of order? Would you ever do that to your own children? 1-800-330-9999. Guilty or not guilty, you're going to decide. Did my husband ruin my kid's childhood?
Yeah.
Dakota is 6 years old. She's been begging to watch Ghostbusters. It's a scary movie, so there was a couple rules. She had to watch it with one of us, and it had to be during the day.
That makes sense.
So I put my husband in charge because I was out of town, and he took it upon himself to show her the last one that came out with Paul Rudd last year.
I mean, that's not even the first Paul Rudd. Like, that's a sequel to the first Paul Rudd. That's like movie number 5. It's like if you started with Alien vs. Predator and then skipped all the rest.
And I said to him, why would you do that? I go, you ruined it. She has to watch them in order. And he said, it doesn't matter. Does it matter? 1-800-330-9999.
Hi, Johnny. Did Paul ruin Dakota's childhood by showing her Ghostbusters 5 before Ghostbusters 1?
Yes, he did. You have to go in order for the movie. That's the only way to do it. My daughter watched Red recently, The Descendants, and I was so mad. I made her sit there and go back and watch the first three to see how she should have went in order.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. You got to learn. These kids need to know their history.
I mean, it's important. It's right. important.
But it's up to us to teach them correctly.
Raise That's your children right. well.
You can't just jump in the middle. Can't just jump in the middle. Got to start from the origin.
What do you think, Heather? Did Paul ruin Dakota's childhood doing it this way?
100% guilty. We have a responsibility to our children to teach them about the important aspects of pop culture.
Right.
So this, for me, is unforgivable. Like, I don't know. I don't know if the marriage is going to withhold that.
It's true. I mean, have to think
imagine
about it.
If you started at Jaws 2. You'd never make it to Jaws because you'd be like, this is a terrible film.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, I'm not going.
I thought it was fine for a 6-year-old, and she loved it. But she thought that was the original. She had no idea. Imagine she goes and tells her friends at school that she watched right. Ghostbusters.
Embarrassing for the whole family.
Exactly.
Shame on your name.
Robert, how about you? Is my husband guilty or not guilty of ruining my child's childhood?
No. I think he ruined the continuity of Ghostbusters, and I personally would feel some kind of way. But I've put on Mufasa without even putting on The Lion King, the second Batman with Michael Keaton, Batman Returns, because I think that was a better one. I personally like sequels over the originals, but I don't know if kids really want to see the original Bakeman and all of those characters. I don't know if they think Bill Murray's as funny as we thought he was, even though he's funny.
You might be right. Like, I mean, the jokes don't land the same way, obviously. They were more, I don't know, intellectual or dialogue-focused jokes back then. Now, a lot more physical comedy. You might be right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the vote.
Sherry, what do you think? Did my husband destroy Dakota's childhood?
Absolutely. There's at least 2 or 3 good Ghostbusters, and she saw the worst one by far.
I mean, I don't know if that's the worst one, but it's the last one.
No, it
one.
Is. It's the worst.
I mean, according to Dakota, it was the best movie she ever watched in her life, the last one.
Yeah.
And it was more kid-friendly than the original. I will say that. There was a lot of innuendos in the original that I forgot existed, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Sigourney Weaver, it was pretty...
Yeah, no, I know.
It was right out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, when I was
I don't
watching
know if that's
yesterday,
an innuendo.
I was like, oh, okay. So I guess we're all in agreement for the most part that you got to go in order with these classic movies.
A story begins at the beginning.
Right.
That's where a story begins.
Yes.
Come on.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is presented by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. Ashley and Jim. Ashley, what is going on? How long have you guys been dating?
We've been dating about a year. I'm finally traveling to Florida with him to meet his parents, and Jim told me that his parents are very religious and old school, and they don't approve of tattoos, and he wants me, when I meet them for the first time, to wear long sleeves to cover them up. But I kind of think it's ridiculous because they're going to see them at some point. And it's Florida. It's hot. We might go to the beach. I know that he thinks that this is like a good first impression idea, but also they need to accept me for me, you know?
Jim, what's your side of this?
Well, I mean, my side is it's just the first time. I think we got to warm them up to her a little bit. Like I think eventually she's gonna have to go no sleeves. You know what I mean? But at the same time, like, let's just do it this one time. Let's be respectful, and then we can kind of whittle our way at it.
Well, I don't like that description, but...
Well, but hold on. Why would your parents care that she has tattoos if you've been dating for over a year?
Well, they haven't seen her yet. They've never met.
I mean, I feel both of your sides here, right? Ashley, I mean, this is part of who you are, right? So we're adults.
Yeah.
We're not here to play games. I mean, you're dating. Jim, you know, your parents are either on board or they're not, right? And you're not a child either. So you say, this is somebody that's important to me and I'm bringing them home. This is what it is. On the other hand, talking about wearing a shirt, and it's not the end of the world to do so, that can buy you a little time. Some people just need to get to know somebody.
Mm.
While you might not care about their opinion, you know, so much at this point, or it might feel like a deal breaker to you, there might be a time where you might feel very different.
They're also going to see the tattoos eventually. Like, they're not going away.
Right. But, I mean, if they like you, first off, then, you know, you've changed their mind or opinion on something else. Maybe you can teach them something about the fact that people that have tattoos aren't all bikers or bad people, I guess. I don't know.
But Jim, why do you think your parents would be so adverse to her tattoos? Is there a reason why? Is it religious? Like, what's the problem?
Yeah, they're very religious, and they don't like how it looks, and they think that they just have certain views about people that have tattoos, and it can be very judgmental. All I care about is I just want my parents and love of my life to like each other. And I think that it would be a bad first impression to come in that way. I think that once they get to know each other, that then we can, you know, maybe go about changing some of the judgments that they have.
All right. What do you think? Is Jim out of line for asking Ashley to wear long sleeves and to hide her tattoos? Do you have a lot of them, Ashley?
I do. Okay. But, you know, they're all on my arms. They're sleeve tattoos.
What do you think? Who's right here?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
Ashley is going to meet Jim's parents for the very first time. They've been dating a year, and Jim has just one small request.
Mm.
She has arm tattoos, and he wants her to wear long sleeves and to hide them because he thinks that his parents will judge her based on the tattoos, and he wants them to see her first for who she is before he sees them.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing, and Ashley will say this, and a lot of people with tattoos, including myself, would say, this is part of who I am, right? This is part of my personality. It's like the thing that introduces me to some people. She's very comfortable with these. She loves her tattoos, and she doesn't want to cover up that part of her personality. They got to like me now, or will they like me ever, right? Because she feels like this is a secret that will spring up on them later, and they won't appreciate that.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Kevin, whose side are you on?
I'm totally on her side. If she's going to date someone and his parents are going to ask her to change who she is, I just think that's like totally immature to ask that as an adult. I dated a girl that her parents wanted me to shave my beard just for her, and I totally sympathize with her.
So
100% her side.
Did you stay with the girl?
I didn't, but it wasn't because of the beard. I didn't shave it, and, you know, dad didn't care. But I felt like offended that I was even asked as an adult, like, oh, you need to change who you are to impress someone else's parents. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. If you were meeting your boyfriend's family for the first time as parents, and your boyfriend had one request.
Mm.
Cover your tattoos on your arms, because I don't want them to judge you based on your tattoos. I want them to know you first. Would you oblige?
Yeah, it's a tough situation here, right? Ashley and Jim. Jim says that his parents are judgmental, definitely religious, a little bit more conservative, and he thinks that they'll just have a bad impression of them. But there's one redeeming thing that he did say also, Anna, was that he just wants his parents, who he cares deeply about, and the love of his life to get along. And we all know what that feeling is. You mm-hmm. want them to, you know, hit it off from the get-go.
I have one friend who shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been hiding her tattoos from her mother-in-law and father-in-law for the last 20 years.
I mean, they're her mother-in-law. They're her parents-in-laws.
Like, sometimes if you have parents like that, you know what that's like. But is it right for her to do this? Because she's not on board with it. She doesn't want to hide her tats. 1-800-330-9999. Jessica, whose side are you on?
I think he's crazy. I think she should go with whatever she wants to wear. We're in a new generation. Everyone has tattoos. It's not about bikers.
Hey, Mike, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I understand where the boyfriend's coming from, but let's be honest. They're grown-ups. Let the girlfriend be herself, because honestly, if they don't like her for the tattoos, something as small as that, the parents' decision, their view on it, really doesn't matter at this point. They're adults. Let her be herself.
Hey, Jeff, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I mean, the fact that he said that they're judgmental, I mean, that's the first thing that popped up in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's the big problem here. And secondly, you know, it says nothing about her character, obviously. So it shouldn't be a problem at all.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ashley, our audience agreed with you today. This is who you are, and if you feel uncomfortable hiding that, then you shouldn't have to. And Jim, if you really love her and you're so excited about her meeting your family, they should accept her for who she is.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of who I am. I'm glad they agree and they understand that.
Jim, I would just say this. If you're that worried about it, maybe you want to call them ahead of time, right? Give them the heads up, because you don't want them embarrassing themselves in front of Ashley. You know, it's not right for them to be rude, right? Judgy, okay, I'm not going to drop the hammer on them. Plenty of people are judgy. But, you know, tact is an important thing, too. And it's a modern world, right? And you care about her, and she's got tattoos. Can they figure that out? That's a question for you and your parents.
Yeah, I think it's time to just rip the Band-Aid off. I think that's where I'm at with it.
Ashley, you got to be happy to hear that.
Yes, I am. I feel much more relaxed on having to wear long sleeves and hide who I am.
Okay. You have a problem too? Send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Ryan, we have $5,300 on the line today for Can't Beat Raven. How's that feel?
That feels great. It feels even better if it was in my possession. So I'm going to work my hardest to get that.
My goal this week was to give this money away before the end of the week, and I'm getting close. So there's nothing that would make me happier to do it. So can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, man. I'm the only thing standing in your way. $5,300.
All right. Get out of here, Raven. All right, that door is going to close, and once it does, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready, Ryan?
I'm ready. Let's do it, Anna.
Number one, Cardi B has been found not liable in a $24 million assault and battery lawsuit. Before becoming a famous rapper, Cardi B was known for appearing on what reality TV show?
Love & Hip Hop Atlanta.
Number two, the Dancing with the Stars cast was announced, and it includes actress Danielle Fishel, Olympic medalist Jordan Chiles, and the Traitor star Dylan Efron. What is the name of the trophy they win?
The Mirror Ball Trophy.
Number three, Chloe Melz is taking over for Anna Wintour as editor-in-chief at Vogue. She says she's a proud Nepo baby. Who's her mom?
Oh, goodness. I'm going to go with Chrissy Brinkley.
Number four, Starbucks had its biggest Tuesday in history, the CEO says, because of his leadership, but really it's because of the return of pumpkin spice. In what U.S. city was the first Starbucks opened?
Seattle.
And number five, controversy at some school districts in Canada because they are joining America in banning certain books, including A Handmaid's Tale and I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Name one of those authors, A Handmaid's Tale or I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Margaret Atwood, Handmaid's Tale.
Let me bring Raven back.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Ryan.
All right. Not great. Not terrible. Let's see how I do. A lot of money.
This one killed me, Ryan. Number one. Cardi B has been found not liable in a $24 million assault and battery lawsuit. Before God, becoming a famous rapper, Cardi B was known for appearing on what reality TV show?
Love & Hip Hop.
Which one?
New York, was it?
New York is right. You said Atlanta.
You would think Atlanta because she's down there. But yeah, that would make more sense. But yeah,
Cardi B's from the Bronx. Number two.
Yeah, but she lives in Atlanta.
The Dancing with the Stars cast was announced, and it includes actress Danielle Fishel, Olympic medalist Jordan Chiles. Technically, she's not a medalist. They stripped her medal, but I'm always going to call her a medalist. And the Traitor star, Dylan Efron. What is the name of the trophy they win?
The Mirror Ball.
Yes.
Corey Feldman is going to be there.
Yeah.
And Hilaria Baldwin.
It's a wild cast.
It is a wacky cast.
Number three, Chloe Melz is taking over for Anna Wintour as editor-in-chief of Vogue. She says she's a proud Nepo baby. Who's her mom?
Candace Bergen.
That's right. Murphy Brown.
Learned that yesterday.
You guys are tied at 3. Oh my gosh, we did smelling salts before.
You feel good, right?
No, they're stuck in my throat. Are they stuck in your throat?
I mean, for a minute, I was so awake, and now I'm like falling off again. I might need to hit it again.
Oh, it's in my throat. Number four, Starbucks had its biggest Tuesday in history. The CEO says it's because of him, but it's really because of the return of pumpkin spice. In what U.S. city was the first Starbucks opened?
Seattle.
That's right. And number five, controversy is some school districts in Canada are joining America and banning certain books, including A Handmaid's Tale and I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Name one of those authors.
Hemingway. Stephen King.
Just out of curiosity, Ryan, do you know who wrote I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings?
You know, I don't, and I should, because it was one of those classics in high school that we were all required to read. It's just, funny enough, Margaret Atwood, The Testaments, is sitting right next to me in my desk. So thank God that was like my lifeline for The Handmaid's Tale. But I can't recall who wrote I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
It was Maya Angelou. But you were right when you said Margaret Atwood. How funny it's sitting next to him. Yeah. All right, Ryan. He beat you 4-3 today. That'll get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name is Ryan, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. Anna, tomorrow, Friday, $5,400.